completely out of our control. For instance, you're cruising through life, you're enjoying your job, you're doing your thing, raising your family, and all of a sudden that business closes. Your job is gone. That is not in your control. So all of a sudden you're looking for a new place of employment. Many people focus on these variables and use them as excuses for remaining defeated, discouraged, and never changing. But I believe that you have control over enough variables and the most important variables to overcome every outside influence. When those things happen in your life that you can't control, you control enough of your life to be okay, to make it, to get through it. You have the ability to be as successful as you desire. Now, this being a opening, brand new, first Sunday of the year sermon, we're going to have lots of opportunity for you to take notes. So maybe you're not a note taker normally. I would encourage you to be one today because there's going to be lots of information that you can get from this. And to be honest with you, the first half of this, I'm going to break this sermon down for you, is going to be more of self-help. It could be applied to anyone. The most ungodly person in the world could take what I'm about to say and apply it to their life and use it. What I do like, and the reason you and I are here this morning, is because there is power in the Scripture. Can you say amen to that? So when we apply those things that are in the Scripture to those everyday things that we can make changes to, when we apply what God tells us in His Word, that's when we are changed in a totally different way that people outside this building may not ever understand until we get them here. There are things that only God can do. And this morning, concerning your own life, you can make excuses or you can take charge and you can own it. Say it again. Say, own it. I refuse to allow other people or things out of my control to determine the results of my life. Because our life is too precious to let other people control your outcome. So take charge. That's what we're talking about today. As we take charge, the number one thing you have to do is close the gap. And I've talked about this before. I did a sermon about 4 years ago called Surrender, and we talked about the gap. What is the gap? The gap is where you are right now in your life and where you see yourself, where you wish you were, where you want to be. You can set goals of a person that you strive to be, strive to become, and there's a gap between you and that person. You see it in front of you, who you wish you were, who you want to be, but it's you're standing here being the person that you are. And for some of us, that gap can look like a canyon. It's so wide and so deep and so far from where we thought we would be at this moment. It looks impossible to make it to the other side, to become that person we want to be. But how many of you know if you're going to close the gap, it's going to involve change? Can you say amen to that? There's all kinds of change in the world. There's good change and there's bad change. This may sound familiar to some of you. I've lost every young person in the room. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Anybody remember that sound? You've got mail. Remember that? AOL, man. It was the only way to get on the internet. And you would get the CDs that had 43 hours of AOL. And you could dial up using your phone, which then no one could call you and you couldn't call out. So you're tying up the phone line. How many of you know Wi-Fi is a good change? Can you say amen to that? There's not all technology is bad change. There are some good things in this world of change. But there's big change and there's small change. Sometimes small change will make a big difference. Have you ever been texting someone and autocorrect will correct and try to make a word for what you're saying? How many of you know just a few letters can make a big difference in what you're saying to someone via text message? Small changes can make a big difference. Permanent change versus temporary change. Some changes need to happen right now. Others maybe can wait till another day. there's hard change and easy change. But here's the truth about change. Most of us are more excited about changing our outside circumstances than we are about changing ourselves. We think, for me to be happy, if I just had a different job, if I just had a better vehicle to drive, if I just had a different spouse, I could be happy. Instead of looking on the inside at what needs to change here that will make the difference, you can be happy no matter where you're at. So as we begin 2017, I believe God already began this during worship, but may He begin to speak to you about what He wants to change within you. What needs to be different as you begin this year. Now, before we dive into Scripture, I have six prerequisites of change. Once again, if you're taking notes, they're on the bulletin. But there's extra things you can write down. They're on the back of the bulletin if you want to follow along. Number one, you must take full responsibility for everything that has, is, and will happen in your life. You have to own it. You cannot be a victim of life and create the life you want. I'll say that again. You cannot be a victim of life and create the life you want. You must take full responsibility. It begins and ends with you. Regardless of what has happened to you in the past, you are in control of what you do, think, and feel in this moment. And since this is the only moment you have, how about making it the best moment it can be? Can you say amen to that? Number two, the level of thinking that created your problem is not the level of thinking needed to create the solution. Doing more of the same is not going to find the solution. Too often we spend too much time and energy focusing on the problem, and all that does is offer us more of the same. We must ask better questions to create a better answer. I like to drive fast. Therefore, I have received citations for driving fast. If I continue to drive fast, I won't be driving very long because I will be without a license. And I have to make a change. I have to determine to change that in my life or I'm going to have the results of not changing. So you have to choose to make the change. That same level of thinking is not going to find my solution. Number three, let go of it. What are we talking about? The past. Let go of it. Why do we hold on to it? How does it serve you to hold on to the past? You have better things to do than live in the past. There's no future in the past. So understand what happened. Learn from it. And let it go. Everybody say, let it go. Number four, take action now. If you want to change, you must do whatever it takes to change now. Not just talk about it, but do it. What do the following words have in common? Should, could, want to, need to, ought to, someday I will. None of these imply that any action has taken place. We can think about it all day long, we can talk about it, but we must take action. Number five, stop lying to yourself. When you tell yourself you can't do something, you're not strong enough, or you're afraid, then you begin to believe that. But the truth is that in each of us, we have amazing strength, courage, and faith. So you have to begin to tell yourself that. Even if you don't believe it, tell yourself until you begin to believe it. Number six, don't quit. Life rarely happens on our time schedule. So no matter what happens before, no matter how many times you failed, this is a new moment. Today, January 1st of 2017, is a new moment. So believe in the possible, not the impossible. Now, I don't want to show of hands, but some of you can relate to the gap that I spoke of, the gap between who we are and who we wish we were, and how do we get there. So now I want us to begin to look into this. There's this sense of guilt that comes with that feeling. And before long, you spend every day with the nagging feeling that you're just not good enough. But here's the good news about the gap. If you take charge of your life and be willing to change, you'll begin to see that gap close. But there's one more important part. Like I said, it's why we are in this building today. If you will begin to believe in who God is more than in who you are not, you'll begin to see that gap close. If you will believe more about who God is than who you are not, it will help you close the gap. So let's look at an example today in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read verses 19 through 21. We're learning from Elisha. It says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother. Goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah said. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. I know not all of you were here last week, but last week we talked about Mary and Mary's plans to get married to Joseph. They had plans to become one, but God had a bigger plan. God had a plan to save the world, and he was going to use Mary to do it. And we talked about how some of the invitations in our life come in the form of an interruption. And for Mary, that was true. She was just doing her thing, planning to get married and have a family. But God had a different plan. The same happens for Elisha. He's just cruising along, plowing his field with his oxen when Elijah shows up and places the mantle upon him. This invitation came in the form of an interruption. But I love his response. It's the key to the invitation. He didn't just say, yes, Elijah, I will follow you. He didn't just say, let me go sell off my things, get some cash, and then I'll come. He didn't say, let me leave this with my family so that if I need to, I'll come back to it. No, he burns it to the ground. He kills off the oxen as to say, I'm never coming back to this again. That was the key to his response. To embrace this change in his life, he had to let go of the past. He had to let go of what he had been known for all along. And maybe that is you today. For God to take you where he wants you to go in 2017, for you to truly follow him, to truly die to self, you may have to be willing to burn the plow. To never go back to where you were. Now, this does not always mean changing your circumstances. As I already said, many of us believe, well, God will step in and take care of me when I have a better job, when I have a new this, a new that. No, it's living where you are with greater passion and purpose. For Elisha, that meant burning the plow. And only you know what that means for your life. Only you know what the plow is that's holding you back from doing what God is calling you to do. For us to truly change, we have to leave nothing to go back to. Burn everything that is tethering us to the world behind us and fully trust in God as we move forward. How many of you want to move forward today? Amen. I remember my senior year, actually it was after my senior year, before I began my freshman year of college. We had a revival going on at our church. And if any of you grew up in church, you're probably going to remember these kind of revivals that I'm talking about. Ours were just on Friday nights. We would show up, we would have a service on Friday night, and then we had our regular Sunday morning service. But for months, this Friday night revival service was going on. And I was attending these services quite regularly. And I remember one specific night when they talked about surrender. And they began to talk about some things in our lives that we were not willing to let go of, and it was time to get rid of them. So they encouraged us on Sunday morning. They were going to have some trash cans up in front of the stage. And they said, when you come Sunday morning, anything that's been holding you back, you bring and you leave it at the altar and walk away changed. Never going back to that person. Now, many of you remember that I've talked about before. I grew up in Oklahoma. I listened to country music. I was the cowboy. So just to have a little fun today, I'll let you see what that looked like. There he is, that tall drink of water. Look how handsome he is. Someone said I should wear that tux today. I do still have that tux, believe it or not. But I don't have the jeans or the boots, or I do have the hat. But that was me in high school. That was who I was. I listened to country music, loved it. And then I just liked anything. I liked riding horses. I liked doing all kinds of things like that. But country music was one of those things that I felt like God was telling me to lay down. So this is going to seem silly to you. But that Sunday morning, when we showed up, they had these trash cans up here at the front of the stage. And I carried a rectangle laundry basket full of tapes and CDs that I had purchased over the years. All the country music I had was actually falling out the side. As I'm walking up, walking down the aisle to the front, people are just laughing because I'm bringing this big tote of CDs and tapes and I dump them all in the trash and I walk away. And I know that seems silly. It's like, country music, really? But there's nothing inherently wrong with that music itself, but it symbolized everything that tied me to my old life. And I had to let it go. It wasn't because it was bad. You may have something in your life that maybe doesn't really seem that bad, but if God is asking you to lay that down because it's holding you back, then you have to let it go. What is the plow God is asking you to burn today? Only you can know that. Can I tell you that made a huge difference in my life? I will never forget that day. I look back on it now and I laugh, but it changed my life because I surrendered to God more than I ever had before. Some of you in this room, I believe God began speaking to you during worship. And He's speaking to you now about burning the plow. It's things you've tried to lay down before, but you find yourself creeping back to it because you've been unable to let go of it. So look to your neighbor and say, burn the plow, to embrace the change. All of our cornerstone locations today, all four locations, we're asking all of you to begin a time of fasting and prayer today. Just, you can do it for the next month, you can do it for the next week, you decide how long. But we're asking you to begin today, just taking some time out of your week. What you fast, once again, totally up to you. But do you begin a time of fasting and prayer and asking God what He wants to speak to you for 2017? What needs to change? What plows need to be burned in your life? If you want to write this down, this would be a good one. I cannot remember if it's in my notes on the back of the bulletin. But intent plus mechanism equals results. Intent plus mechanism equals results. You do what you intend to do. No matter what it is, you can say, well, I intended to lose weight. But if you didn't, then you didn't intend to do it or you would have done it. You intend to do what you will do. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you intend to be more spiritual, you need the mechanism that's going to get you that result. The mechanism is reading your Bible and praying. Those can just become an act. Those can just become something you do. Or they can be the mechanism that gets you the results that you're looking for. So if you want to be more spiritual, there is a mechanism, as you intend to do that, you use taking time in prayer, fasting, reading your Bible, and you will get the results that you're looking for. The good news is, Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. I'm going to have her throw it on the screen. You don't even have to turn there. Jesus said this, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in here. See, for Elisha, he waited till the mantle was placed upon him. He responded in the correct way, and then his life was changed. And some of you are saying, well, I'm just waiting on God to place the mantle upon me. Can I tell you? That was the power of the cross. You have what you need inside of you to do what God is asking you to do. You don't have to wait. It's already there. He's deposited His power, His willingness, and His passion within you. And it's time for what God put in you to come out of you and to be used. Some of you are already doing it. But some of us haven't began yet. There's no greater day than today to begin to allow God to use you. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8 says, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. If you focus on God's will or intent for your life, if you're looking for His intentions for your life, you will begin to do what you intend to do based on what He intended for you to do. Does that make sense? Focus on God's will. Focus is the adjustment that gives us clear vision. If you've ever looked through binoculars, binoculars help you see way out ahead of where you are. But if you don't focus them, it's just a blur. And many of us are looking to our future. We're looking to what is ahead of us, and it's all just a blur. But if you will take time with God and pray and ask for Him to give you a clear vision, that's the focus on the binoculars so that you can see where you need to go. You can see a way to close the gap of who you want to be and who you are now. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. This prayer and fasting is not just another thing to do. We're not just trying to say, do what we're doing. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Take time to fast and pray and ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. He's not looking to fault you. It will be given to you. But when you ask, here's that believing and doubt. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all that they do. If that describes you today, if you struggle with doubt, it's because you doubt yourself more than you believe in God. One of those things is going to win. If you can find your belief in God to be more than the doubt that you have in yourself, you will begin to close the gap. Another smart thing to do as we begin this year is write down your goals. If you've been a part of this church, I've been here 8 years. I bet I've heard it every single year from Pastor Stan at the beginning of the year. He encourages you to write down your goals. But there's a reason. It holds you accountable. It reminds you. Place them where you're going to see them on a daily basis. If you just write them down in a notebook and never open the notebook, it's not going to change. But if you will put them on a mirror, if you'll put them where you drive, put them where you're going to see them, that they may remind you of what needs to change, of what God wants to do in you this year, you will begin to close the gap. There are certain things you have to do. This is scriptural. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Now I'm going to read that again in the message because it's a little bit easier to understand. And then God answered. I don't even want to know what God's saying. Come on. Then God answered. Write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way and it will come right on time. Church, begin to ask God what He wants to say to you for 2017, but write it down. Don't just keep it in your mind and say, I'll remember it. You've got to write it down. Place it in front of you so that when you're doing anything in life, you're still coming back to that. You never get off of that goal of becoming who you want to be and who God wants you to be. And it's okay to ask for that in every single area of your life. You can have personal, family, spiritual, community goals, any of those. It's okay. A goal is the result toward which effort is directed. I'll say that again. A goal is the result towards which effort is directed. How about directing your goals toward areas like this? Love, learn, give, help, heal, serve, laugh. This is not all rocket science. Some of it's pretty simple stuff. Love of pleasure will never result in a life well lived. But finding the pleasure of love will. If you're just seeking pleasure, we can all find something that gives us pleasure. But if you will seek love, perfect love, you then will find a life that's well lived. Scott, I'm going to ask you to come back and begin to play. And as I close this out, I was reading, just scrolling through Facebook a couple of days ago, and a friend of mine wrote something that was perfect for us today. So I want to read it to you. As I began the district job last September, I had to go to several meetings with all the other district youth directors from all over the United States. And I met a young lady from North Dakota that had been the district youth director for the last 8 years. And she posted this about her January 1st of last year. And this is what it says. At this time last year, I found myself alone on the beach. It was a terrifying night in so many ways, not just because of the roar of the ocean, but because of the unique moment of wrestling with God and His call. On that night, God was asking me to say yes, when I didn't even know the question. Yes to whatever was next. Yes to whatever that meant. So God and I talked. I yelled. Eventually, I finally said yes. My standard answer to opportunities for change in the past had always been a flat no. But on this night, God prepared my stubborn heart for change. I didn't even know the question. I had no idea what I was saying yes to this time. No idea at all. But when a phone call came a couple weeks later, I was prepared to listen. Because of the dark, terrifying night at the beach, when I said yes, my life was changed. So here's the moral of the story. When Jesus calls, the right answer is always yes. It's the one word that changes the world. And her final statement was, may your life or answer to life be yes in 2017. I don't think it could be said any better. That's why I just read it. I don't know what God is talking to you about, but some of you need to burn some plows. Some of you just need to be willing to say yes. You've been saying no for a long time. And once again, I can't tell you what that is, but as you begin this new year, if you will begin to take time to fast and pray and ask God what He wants to speak into your heart, if you don't like where you're at in this moment, the very best thing you can do is change. We talked about change in the beginning. Let me give you this. When it comes to God, is it good change versus bad change? It's always going to be a good change. Big change versus small change. I'm telling you, it's going to be a big change when God is involved. And He's not just asking for a room in your house. He's asking for the whole house. Can you say amen to that? Is it a temporary change or a permanent change? It's going to be permanent. So burn the plow. You're not going back. You're moving forward. It's a permanent change. Is it right now change or someday? It's now. There's no better time than the present. And if you don't do it now, the longer you wait, the less likely you are to change. So now is your time. Is it easy or is it hard? That's up to you. That all comes down to your decision of how you respond. If you respond in the right way, it actually becomes very easy. But how many of you are excited about what God wants to do in your life in 2017? Can you say amen to that? Here's the response today. I think some of us need to begin to ask God today what it is you want to speak into my life. So I'm going to invite you to come forward in just a moment. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to pray with you. If you need prayer, I'll pray with you. I'd be happy to. But this, I believe, is between you and God. But I'm going to invite you to come forward and kneel down here and just begin to ask God, God, what do you want to say to me today? I won't take long, but I do want to ask if that's you in this room. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads, but I'm going to say a prayer, and then I just ask that you stand up and begin to come. God, right now, there are people in this room that the Holy Spirit is dealing with. Some of us need a change. God, some of us need to burn the plow. Some of us just need to say yes. But it's time to take charge and own our relationship with you. And may that begin today, January 1st of 2017. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right now, I'm just asking that you stand up and move. I'm not trying to get some emotional thing going, but I believe God wants to speak to some of you right now. So I'm just asking that you stand up and move in this moment. This can make the difference in your year right here. This moment can make all the difference. So will you stand with me, those of you that are left? And we're going to sing a simple song that we all grew up on, if you grew up in church at all.
I have decided to follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
See the cross before me. Come on.
The cross before me. The world behind. The cross before, the world behind. The cross before, the world behind. No turn back, no turn.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
None go with me, still I.
Come on, this is a commitment to God right here.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back.
I have decided. Sing it out.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Lord, I pray that this is the greatest year of Cornerstone Church. God, this year can be a year of change for each one of us. God, it's good change, not bad change. And Lord, we don't just do it for ourselves. We do it for you. And out of us changing and growing, we're going to see great things happen for the kingdom. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God praise this morning. Thank you for being here today. Own it this week. You're dismissed.